Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a great word. God is good all the time, and His grace abounds in love. So every day, just tell God, I'm thankful that you woke me up this morning. I'm grateful that you gave me a new day and a do-over, and I'm blessed to be called your child. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, walking in faith and not in fear, Lord God, that you are with us always, that you will surely deliver us from the snares of the enemy, snares of those that will come and say that your God is not real. But we know you are real, Lord. You put the stars in the sky. You put the moon above to give us light at night and the sun to give us warmth and light. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for grace, Lord God, that abounds through you. Lord God, as I go through this word this morning, I lift up this word, asking you, Lord God, please increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In the presence and the holy name of Christ Jesus, I give myself away for you to use me, Lord God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you. Father, give us understanding, give us discernment. Let this word permeate in our hearts and minds and spirit. As we go through this day, let us remember that my God can deliver me from everything and anything. In Jesus' name, I pray, lifting up this list and trusting you to increase as I decrease. Again, in the name of the Master of Faith, Christ Jesus, whom comes love and grace and hope and love. In his name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Heard this morning, I fill you up. Woo! Make you want to holler kind of word. Because we're going to go back in history. We all, you know, we read Kings and we read the Chronicles. And now we're in Isaiah, and it's telling another of the stories that we already have heard, but we know perspective. Give us understanding. And when we go into Isaiah chapter 35 through 36, it says this: the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, the Lord will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. We got to remember that the Lord is in charge of everything. God is not in charge of some things. He's in charge of everything. The moon, the sky, he's in charge of your life. And believe me when I say, He will make everything all right when you believe. And then the word says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Come on now. Oh, gracious God. For your love. Thank you for your hope that you give us, God. And it says then, it says, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Encouragement. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And in our word this morning, the Lord will surely deliver us. Let us walk in faith and not fear. But the Lord God is with us. Even when the enemy sins, his wrath thickens. We got to walk in faith and not in fear. The Lord will surely deliver us. We got to believe it. It comes from faith, believing things you cannot see. But knowing that God is already making a way out of no way. And this is what our life lesson says this morning. And so my normal everyday disclaimer, I am not paid by Dr. Charles Stanley or any of his ministries to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, it is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal. Because we understand we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities. We fight against all the things that the enemy can throw at us. Kicking feet. He will throw a step. He will throw a stumble. He will throw anything and everything at you. All I can say is, you know, I was years ago, actually 10 years ago, the night that Whitney Houston died, I will never forget it. Because it was the night I broke my wrist. I thought I was young. You know, I was 53. Hey, I thought I was a cool hip teacher and that I could go skating with the kids and get out on the roller skates and I could roll and I could, you know, like I used to do as a teenager. You know, I could do that thing. That all it was just getting back on the skate. And so I was doing really well again. Until a kid fell in front of me. And when they fell, to try to avoid them, I fell. And I heard the crack, but I thought it was a sprain. So I went on about my business. You know, I skated a little bit more. Then I got off the skates because my arm was throbbing. Still thinking I got a sprain. Even had somebody look at it and they said, oh, it's probably a sprain. I morning woke up, arms swollen, turning, you know, a nice little purple. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to probably go to urgent care. Went to urgent care. After I'd gone to Macy's the night before, that's how I found out that Whitney Houston had died because the CNN news was saying how devastated Bobby Brown was. And I'm like, what's Bobby Brown got to be devastated about? And then they talked about the fact that Whitney had been found dead, and I just wanted to bawl. and my arm was hurting, I was, like, a little upset because I like Whitney Houston. And I, you know, just bought her album, Come To You. I think I Come To You. I just thought it was a beautiful song. I just thought she was beautiful. You know, we all go through our storms, praying for her to come out on the other side better than she ever was. But God took her home. And hurting, sobbing, bought a new dress that night to go to this lunch for the NAACP I was going to the next day. And couldn't sleep, throbbing, wrapped it in the ACE bandage, throbbing, went, took my little ACE bandage off, they did an x-ray, and told me my wrist was broken. And the feds have to put a cast on it. Not with this brand new dress. But the one thing I can say is this, even when I stumble, even when I fell, even when I broke my wrist, even when I had to cut up a brand new dress, God was with me, and he was delivering me from vanity. That's the only thing, the vanity of vanity, the vanity. Don't let your red dress keep you from getting your cast on. We got to understand God wants us to walk in faith and not in fear. And so again, get this Bible. Life examples, life lessons, life questions, answers to life questions, what the Bible says are all Dr. Stanley commentary that I read. And I tell you, I can't get it out because Dr. Stanley has already said what I was thinking. You know, so I just love this. So I say again, please, because you listen to this show, but because it's great to have. When you just want to meditate on a word, when you just need a word from God, you just open it and say, Lord, give me a word. And he will give you a word, an example, a lesson. He will take you all the way back. All you have to do is ask. And so I just thank God for it. And again, not paid by ChristianBooks.com, but right now they are having a Bible sale. They have a Bible sale all the time. But, again, a Bible sale. So if you're looking for this Bible, go to ChristianBooks.com, and you will find that they have anything you want to, you want in a religious setting. They got it. ChristianBooks.com. Just throwing it out there, family. So let's get back into our word and our life lesson this morning. And in Isaiah 35 and 2, it says, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. And it says, although we can experience some of the glory and ecstasy of God, right now we see in a mirror dimly. You know, 1 Corinthians, we read that a few weeks ago, 13 and 12. One day, however, we will not only see this glory, we will share in it. Romans 8 and 17. We look forward to a time when God's goodness and righteousness will bless every believer in it. Immeasurable way, and will banish all evil, pain, and grief. Our sorrow not now cannot compare to our joy then. Our sorrows now cannot compare to our joy then. And I just send out my prayers to bereaved families this morning. So many people have lost loved ones, and we just pray for them, knowing that God is in charge, thinking of this morning. And as we go back again into our word, let's go over. You got your Bible, get your Bible, y'all. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Well, first we're going to go to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 17. And we may go around it a little bit too, to get it in our perspective. And when we go to Romans chapter 8, we're going to go over to verse number 15, not verse 14. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Thereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself breathes witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it goes on to say, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjugated the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by the hope, that hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? For we hope that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I have just read Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 26. The way of God. And he will deliver us from our sins. He will deliver us from the bondage. He will deliver us from our fights. He will deliver us from those that will come against us before their time. And he will be our encourager. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, the maker of an encourager. Sometimes it takes only one little word, our smile, our grasp of the hand. Sometimes it means standing by someone during a particular hard time and helping him or her not give in to despair. What does encouragement mean to you? Can you recall a time when someone came alongside you for the sole purpose of lifting your spirit or making you smile? Have you ever done that for a hurting person? It feels good to know you're loved good in those low moments when you can't see ahead clearly, when you don't grasp God's perspective and vision for your life. Isaiah 35:3, for admonishes, strengthen the weak hand, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come and save you. God has given each of us special tasks within the body of Christ. Those with the gift of exhortation or encouragement can rejoice in their unique and tender ministry. But encouragement isn't strictly the domain of those whom the Lord has given a special gift. It's not an activity exclusively for those who naturally bubbly are warm personalities. Encouragement is the wonderful God-given function of everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. We belong to the Lord, and we can encourage each other as we encourage ourselves. In the early days of the church, new believers badly needed encouragement. Societal pressures mounted, persecutions multiplied, and few had access to the apostles' teaching. Very often, encouragement for the early church came in the form of a person, as it does today. Sometimes just the sight of a certain loved one can reinvigorate your spirit and remove your focus from yourself. Sometimes Paul sent Timothy. More than once, he sent his associate Tychius as a special envoy of joy. The ministry of encouragement is indispensable, both to yourself and to the body of Christ. There is no such thing as a person who doesn't need encouragement. By seeking ways to daily build up those with whom you interact, you further the potential for meaningful Christ-centered relationships. As Paul told the persecuted Thessalonians, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And that's how we have to be today in the church, in our lives, be patient with each other. And as we go into Isaiah chapter 36, this is a history lesson. We read this in Chronicles. We read this in Kings. You know, we cannot allow the enemy who was sent there, Rob Shaken, to get you off your square. You got to say, not today, Satan. And as we go in, it says, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper highway to the fullest field. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shadna, described as Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say to you of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is a Pharaoh king of Egypt to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you and the least of my master's servants and put their trust in Egypt, the chariots and the workmen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against the land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But he's tough. He's like, I want them to hear what I got to say, so I'm going to say it in their language. But the Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This is where our title comes from this morning. The Lord will surely deliver us. He's telling, don't believe that. Don't believe that your God can do all of that stuff. Don't believe Hezekiah. Believe me, we're going to come and get you. We're going to feed you. Let's see what he has to say, because he's talking a whole bunch of trash about our God. And then he goes on to say, this city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. But thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine and every one fig tree, and every one of you drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, say, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shapharaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word. But the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Elikiah, who was over the household, Shemnah, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their closed doors and told him the words of Elisha. And this is our life lesson from chapter 36 of Isaiah. Isaiah 36:7. Is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Those who did not know the Lord simply cannot understand what a real life of faith is all about. Hezekiah removed those altars, of course, because God told him to. Religious expression does not necessarily mean spiritual reality. Isaiah 36:15, the Lord will surely deliver us, our title for today. People try to make us doubt the existence, power, and love of God all the time. They will encourage us to get with the program and be smart and abandon what they see as religious nonsense. But God still rules. Can y'all say that with me? My daddy God still rules, and he will deliver us. I know he will. I've seen him do it. I've experienced it. God will deliver us. He will deliver us from the Rabshakeh of this world, who only come to bring fear. Psalm, the 109th Psalm, continuation from yesterday. So we are in verses 6 and 13. And it says, set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children continue to be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in generation follow let their name be blotted out. Wow. This is when David was having a prayer moment where he was praying against his enemies. And there may be people praying against you. There may be people praying against me. There may be people praying against our nation. We got to stand up and say, not today. We are not going to walk in fear. We walk in faith. Surely the Lord will deliver us. We believe. Proverbs 25, verses 27 through 28. Told y'all was a good word this morning. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Beware, folks, that it's always about themselves and not about the greater good. It's all about me, not about you. All about what I want, what I'm doing, and it's all about me, me, me. We got to walk, walk, walk away, way, way. Because that is not a godly spirit. And that is not a person of God. We got to be very careful whose churches we go and study, who we listen to. We got to be careful. Because the enemy knows the word. Don't ever get it twisted. The enemy knows the word of God. And let me tell you this, he knows it well, real well. He knows it every last verse. And he knows how to take it and twist it. Not in the Garden of Eden, twist the word of God to get Adam and Eve, or Eve and Adam, to eat the forbidden fruit. And I say again, it was not an apple. Don't get that twisted either. That was a painless rendition of what he thought the fruit might be. Understand, the fruit is something you will never see because it's unique. And it was unique only to the garden. And we need to understand that it was not an apple. Because if it was an apple a day wouldn't be keeping the doctor away. He had to say it over there. That was one of those moments. So forgive me and let's keep it moving. As you will find, we are pretty casual on this show. We don't get all religious. We just love the Lord. And this is what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This will be the third time I am coming to you. This is Paul, still writing the Church of Corinth. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now, being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. But though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Indeed, you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. You better preach, Apostle Paul. Now, I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though you may seem disqualified, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong, and this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brother, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. A love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we come back for the lesson of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 3, it tells us, Christ, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking to me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. Some mistake the grace and love and patience and for weakness. when he does not immediately respond to rebellion with discipline, they feel encouraged to sin more boldly. But Paul wants us never to confuse God's love with weakness. Don't take my kindness for weakness. You know, Jesus, I'm sure, is saying that. Don't take my kindness for weakness. Because you don't want to see what's going to happen when you keep doing what you're doing. God is trying to give us warning. We just got to listen. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. We all got to do some self-evaluating. Despite the Corinthians' problems, Paul does not believe that they have trusted Christ in vain. He sees their genuine spiritual gifts, their repentance, their love for God, and he wants these things to encourage them to further grow. Sometimes, as Simon said, we got to encourage each other. We got to encourage that God wants us to be the best that we can be. And it says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. A decalogue. And it says, in this simple but beautiful benediction, Paul calls attention to all three persons of the Trinity. And I said decalogue, I meant benediction, excuse me. As a single Godhead, they work together for our spiritual growth and joy in the Christian life. Joy in the Christian life. Are you enjoying your life? I am. I'm happy. I'm happy to be a child of God. I'm happy to be loved by Him. I'm happy to know that my Daddy God can do all things and He will not fail. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. The Lord will surely deliver us. Whatever you're going through, know that God will deliver you. Let us walk in faith, not in fear. Fear nothing. Walk in faith that your Daddy God has got you covered from the crowns of your ears to the soles of your feet. God has got you, and He loves you. God loves us so much. We're going to trust God today. Give God the glory today. We got a couple of prayer requests this morning. We got a prayer request, a couple of prayer requests. And it's for the mother of my church family and who was the mother, who is the mother-in-law of my pastor. And we call her Mother Hallie. She is not, will be 92, God will it, next month. She's 91, feisty, beautiful, and she gives great hugs. So if you please, family, pray for Mother Hallie today. She's going into the hospital, and we're asking God for His healing power. We're asking God to bring her safely home. We're asking God to give a chance in the midst of this fight. But we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We pray for the Lord God to keep us safe from the coming on. Father God, we are lifting up this morning, Mother Allen, asking you to watch over her, Lord God, asking you to give the doctors knowledge on what is making her tired, Lord God, what has got her off her square for a minute, God, because she is a mighty, powerful woman of God who loves you more than anything. And Father God, if you lift up Mother Allie, we lift up Evangelist Teresa. She's one of our own, Lord God. You know what she's been going through this week, and you know what she has to go through on tomorrow. So Father God, we lift her up, her health. We lift up her heart, oh God. We lift her up because we know that she is powerful, Lord God, that she is a mighty woman of God who can get a prayer through. So, Father, we're healing, Lord God. We're asking you to watch over Mother Rita as well, God. We lift up Mother Rita as she also, Lord God, is a mighty, powerful woman of God. We lift up all listeners today, God. Those that listen live and those that listen later, asking you, Lord, to heal bodies, minds, and spirits, to give strength when we are weak, to deliver us from the snares and the roughshakers of our life, those that come out to brag about what they can do. But we know, Lord God, you have already placed a shield around your children. Father God, we're lifting up mothers and fathers that are taking care of their children, having to take them to school, make lunches. Lord God, we are asking you to please watch over families today. Give them strength, God. Give them strength. Give them strength. Give them strength, God. We're asking you, Lord God, to deliver us from all sorts and kinds of evil, those that are above and beneath. Lord God, we're asking you to cover your children with the blood of Jesus, from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Let his blood flow through each and every vein, and that every vein flow through each and every joint and muscle and ligament, that those that are broken will be healed. Those that are in need of your special attention, God. We're asking you to watch over them, to bless them, to guide them, and lead them. And, Lord, we're praying for our nation, our nations, Lord God. You know what's going on in the Congo. You know what's going on in Cameroon. You know what's going on in Canada. You know what's going on in Europe. You know what's going on in Britain. You know what's going on in my United States of America. Yes, I said united, because united we will continue to stand. But if we allow the enemy to divide us, we will fall. So, Lord God, I pray for the United States of America, not just America, but the United States of America. Lord God, lead us and guide us in the right way to go. A loving, kind nation is a nation that will come together. Lord, let us come together in love in our church body. Lord God, give pastors special anointing. Keep them covered, Lord, as the enemy is trying to sneak in like the sneaky snake that he is into the pulpit, how he's trying to sneak in to the body of the divide, to cause confusion, to cause dissension. But we know, Lord God, that you are a uniter, and we are lifting up those in need today. So, Lord, a special prayer, a special blessing. And, Lord God, we are asking you to deliver our mother, Mother Allen. We're asking you, Lord God, to heal our sister, Evangelist Teresa. We're asking you, Lord God, to heal breaches and families and church bodies. Lord God, give us everything we need to rebuild our wall, that we will be able to withstand the enemy as he comes like a flood. We know, Lord God, you have already placed your loving banner and standard around us each and every one. So, Lord, as I lift up the sick and the shut-in today, ask your special blessings on their family, on those that take care, our caregivers. I ask you to please, Lord, give them a special pepperness gift and special blessing. But they are your servants taking care of the needs of others. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up Mother Hallie, I lift up Evangelist, I lift up Mother Rita, and I lift up all the sick and the shut-in. I lift up Sister Carolyn, who is traveling today, asking you, Lord God, to watch over her, to bless her as she goes to conference. Lord God, let something in it touch her heart, mind, and spirit, that she will have more rhema words to send out and lift up. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And before we get out, our prayer for my 365 days of prayer, and for this 22nd powerful presence, hallelujah. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we know that's the 16th Psalm, verse 11. And I just came out of the ESV. And it says, life giver. We know, Father God, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. There is no one like you in all creation. Your powerful presence gives me joy. There is so much pleasure in knowing you. When I thought I had lost myself in my pain, come on now. You brought me out into the light. There I could clearly see the treasure that had been hidden in darkness. You never waste an opportunity to lavish your love on me. I am undone at the faithfulness of your goodness in my life. Lord, as you have freely poured out your affection over me, how could I but turn around? Like all praise and affection is endless. You are genuine in your adoration of your children. You draw out love within me that I don't even know was there, that I didn't know was there. You are master at bringing life to everything you give attention to. Thank you that I'm one such subject. And I asked the question this morning as we wrap it up. The last time you said your joy, and I feel it right now, knowing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Pray for me, family. I got to travel this afternoon, and I have not had a lot of sleep, but I know that my daddy God can watch over me and will give me strength to drive the highways and byways. So if there's anyone that would like to speak this morning, now is the time to hit that button, the number one, or call 213-943-3597. And your line will be open again, 213-943-3597. If there is no one, again, I lift up all the sick and the studying. I lift our sisters in Christ, my brothers in Christ, asking God to continue as we pray our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. And remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord will surely deliver us. Let us walk and not fear. Have a blessed day, family. And know that you are loved, and I'm sinning. As far as there, I guide you across the miles to each and every one of you in a hug, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and we are not worrying about anything, because we know that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are family. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Bye, because I got to finish getting back, and I got to go to work. Thank you so much, family. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.